Chariot TechCast, episode number 83, Andres Almirey on ASCII Doctor and Markdown Text Markup Formats and Tools. This podcast is brought to you by Chariot Solutions Training and Mentoring Services. Focusing on enterprise and emerging technologies such as AngularJS, Scala, Spring, Maven, and more, we only teach what we practice in the field. For more information about private training and mentoring, check us out on chariotsolutions.com/training. I'm your host, Ken Rimple. Welcome to the show. Today, I'm joined by Andres Almirey, who has been on our podcast way back in episode 41, discussing Groovy Griffin. I've invited him back again, discussing text-based documentation markup formats with me. I've been a user of Markdown in various incarnations for a while now, but when I saw him tweet about his interest in ASCII Doctor, a Ruby-based tool to convert the newer ASCII doc format to various output formats, I was very interested. We discussed the features, techniques, applications, and tools available to both Markdown and ASCII doc formats, and Andres shares how he applies the format to his own documentation for the Groovy Griffin project. The audio quality has been suffering lately, so I apologize if this is a bit rough to listen to. However, I do include some pretty extensive show notes this time over at chariotsolutions.com/techcast. So if you want to learn about some of the tools, head over there and download some of them. Now let's go to the interview with Andres Almirey. So Andres Almirey, welcome to the Chariot TechCast.
Hi, Jim. Thank you.
So, I saw a message, I guess it was on Twitter, that you were mentioning about, submitting a talk about ASCII Doctor to Java 1. And I know I jumped on that because I've been doing a lot of work with a text-based publishing format. And I thought that, you know, it's probably time for some of our listeners in this particular podcast to, you know, discuss this tool, or at least a number of different tools for text processing. Traditionally... people in business are users of things like Word and PowerPoint, things like that. And, you know, those are just kind of really big hulking tools. And it'd be good to expose people to other options. So I thought it'd be good to get you on the show and discuss this as a topic. So why don't you introduce yourself for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Andres Almirey, and I'm a Java champion and Java 1 rockstar. And one of the things that I like to do in my daily job is to tinker with new technologies, new stuff, so that I can make a better job when working with the customers. One of these tools that I discovered, I think it's roughly a year ago, is ASCII Doc. And I was aware of Markdown and I used it before, well, because pretty much everybody knows GitHub, and that's what you use in GitHub to make README files. But once I discovered ASCII Doc, I saw that there was a new world of possibilities to do simple text. It is really a simple text syntax. But the kind of documents that you can create based on this are much more better in quality, I would say. There are much more features found in ASCII Doc than in Markdown and in other simple text-based formats that really convinced me to keep going with this particular format.
Some of the main reasons, for text-based tools, I came up with just a few of them, but, you know, I guess my favorite one is that you really could just use Vim.
You only need to use the only and true editor, that is Vim, and there's nothing else that you need. Sorry, Emacs guys. I don't know if you've probably seen this. There was a screenshot going on a few months ago. Somebody was tweeting about a tutorial on how to use this particular software, and he said, well, now you have to use Vim to edit this file. But if you happen to have Emacs, then the next thing you do is find your package manager, so they do delete Emacs, and the next step is use Vim.
That's great. Yeah, that's about right. You know, it's funny. We've gone backwards in tools, but for a good reason. I'm doing a lot of JavaScript these days, and just using Vim and using some lightweight JavaScript build tools, I'm able to move very quickly. And I remember the days where I had to load a whole bunch of different, Java-based tools and, IDEs and such to get things done. It just, it seems like we're starting to get smarter about our editors these days. So that's good. You know, another thing I thought about is, and I did a book a couple years back, and it was in DocBook format, which is another one of these, kind of
documentation formats. It's not a tool. And you could merge very easily when you're working on different things with people. That's a big advantage too, right, with these text formats?
Yeah, exactly. As an author of a technical book, you definitely enjoy working with the same tools that you used to when creating a standard any kind of project that you used to. So I also wrote a book a few years ago, and we had to do it with Word because the other alternative was OpenOffice, and the template wasn't really working for us. The third alternative was to go with something that looked like DocBook. It wasn't some XML format, but we couldn't see all the information that we needed. There were three authors, so it was really, really complicated for seeing the list. And I thought that by the time that we finished the book, finishing writing the chapters, I said, we're done. It's just a matter for the technical reviewers to come in and see what's going on. Oh, I really did not know what I was getting into. Just tracking changes with this software is so bad. And I really long for an option to use regular code review tools. If we were just able to write this thing in simple text and submit it to a Git repository and use any standard merging tool that you already have for working with Java or C or JavaScript, doesn't matter which languages, as long as you have the same kind of tools as a developer, but for writing documentation, oh, that would be perfect.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, the book we did was in a DocBook format, I think 4.2. And although I'm not a fan of DocBook really at all, in terms of, it's a very wordy XML format, and I wrestled with, things like code samples and stuff were just painful because of all the different annotations you had to put in. But I found a tool for that. So we'll talk about our picks later, but there was a great user interface tool to wrestle DocBook to the ground. Wrestle DocBook to the ground. but I'm finding now with Markdown, for example, and I'm going to look at AsciiDoc next, that you really don't have to even get into that world, which is great. So yeah, no vendor lock-in. That's really helpful. And the other thing that's really an advantage, I think, for this is there are tools out there, and you're going to talk about AsciiDoc, or I'm going to talk about Pandoc, that make it easy to transform these into really nice publishing formats and, render to HTML and all sorts of other nice stuff.
Right, right, exactly.
So let's talk about some of the, I guess, the old competitors here. Again, the concept is you're working in some sort of text-based markup language. And so some of these, it really started with tools like Tex. Tex is a very, very old publishing format. I know a lot of universities were having their research people write documents in Tex. And Tex, TEX.
They still do.
Yeah, yeah. And it's basically like a text markup language with escape codes, right? Have you ever done anything with Tex?
I've seen it, and I ran to the hills in meetups.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, so Tex is one that's out there. And in fact, the tool that I use to do my transformations, this Pandoc tool, seems to use Tex as an intermediate format. But yeah, that's kind of like your really old school stuff. And I think DocBook, one word, Doc, B-O-O-K, is the XML kind of let's try something different format that was kind of an alternative that was, I'm not sure how old it is, but it's probably about 10 years old, that was an alternative to that and has its own set of tools around it. But a lot of people started using markup tools that are text-based. I mean, if you think of HTML, it's really, HTML is really an old markup tool, right? I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah, it's quite old, but it's also well-known. And it's verbose in some areas, but most people can get started with it. I would say it's kind of like the Java of these kind of formats. Yes, we know Java is verbose, but anybody can read it. Anybody can understand it.
Yeah, and certainly it's the publishing format on the web. So obviously a lot of things end up that way if they don't start that way. So I know that when I was doing a lot of blogging, seems like I'm doing a lot more podcasting and other things these days, but I was doing a lot of things in textile. That was one of the first kind of text processing tools that would convert from a simple markup tool where you would use asterisks for bullets and things like that into HTML. And then I kind of bumped into Markdown when I found out that my blogging tool no longer supported Textile, and I was stuck going to something else. So Textile is one of those. It's a little older, T-E-X-T-I-L-E. And then I ran into Markdown. That's John Gruber's format, is that right? I think that's who did that, Markdown. But Markdown is pretty popular. And as you mentioned, it is kind of like the lingua franca of GitHub. It's relatively easy to pick up. There's a daringfireball.net is John Gruber's website, and he has kind of like the standard for it up there. And there are a ton of tools that work with Markdown.
Yeah, certainly. You can find plugins for all popular editors. You can find mm-hmm. plugins for IDEs. There are different flavors of Markdown. So there is one standard syntax, and there have been additions so that, for example, that you can write tables much easily, or that you could write some other HTML elements without writing HTML itself, which is one of the things that I see that I think is good and bad about Markdown. Is that it's such a simple syntax that creating simple pages is pretty much a no-brainer once you know the basics. But if you really want to create something that looks really nice, I don't know, some kind of HTML5 integration, you have to mix HTML tags with your Markdown syntax. So now you have two different languages mixed in the same, or two different syntaxes merged in the same document. And now it would be kind of odd for me to say that I prefer to have just one language because I'm a polyglot believer. I'd rather use two or three languages in one code base if that particular language that I have chosen does the job better. So in the case of Markdown, you cannot write tables directly. You have to have an extension. And if it's not enabled in the website that you're targeting, then you're out of luck. You have to use HTML directly. And the same thing will happen with our HTML components. So in the end, if you want to have a really rich document written in Markdown, you have to come up with a compromise. So sometimes you will see Markdown syntax, and sometimes you will see HTML syntax.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you know, one thing Markdown does relatively well is kind of code samples. And I know that we're going to get to ASCII.doc, and it does basically the same level of support and better. It is seductive. You know, I have a training course that I teach in AngularJS right now that I wrote, and it's all done in Markdown. But I've been desperate to go to multi-Markdown just to get that table support, and some better publishing support, because I find that you do a code sample and you're doing it in an HTML5 code sample. Try escaping out HTML5 sample without going crazy with code formatting.
Exactly.
So polyglot, but polyglot with pain involved. So you're kind of referring to multi-Markdown, right? As one of the kind of extension languages to Markdown, right?
That's one of them. The other is the GitHub flavor Markdown that also supports tables and a few other things, mm-hmm. like smarty quotes and something like that.
How old is ASCII.doc? I mean, this is your area of interest right now. Is it a relatively new format?
So ASCII.doc itself, the project, is fairly recent. It mm-hmm. doesn't have more than 3 years. But the ASCII.doc syntax itself is more than 10 years old. And it began life in the Python world. So there's a command line tool called ASCII.doc that you use to transform your document into different backends. By default, the most well-supported backend is HTML. But you could also transform ASCII.doc into DocBook. And from DocBook, you can transform to something else, for example, PDF. But with the ASCII.doc project that Dan Allen decided to create, and he pretty much ported the transform it from Python to Ruby and started adding a few more features. And now this thing, the community of ASCII.doc has just exploded. If you look at the GitHub website, github.com/ASCII.doc, you see plenty of official extensions and projects related to the ASCII.doc project itself. But then again, so when you, I said that it's done with Ruby, and there are many ways for you to run ASCII.doc. And what is great is that it's faster than its predecessor, and it has a much more standardized syntax because you could do things, say you could bold an element using one asterisk or two, which is kind of similar that you can do in Markdown. But in the case of ASCII.doc, we try to keep just things simple so that there is only one way to bold an element or to make it italic. So kind of that's kind of the stuff that is happening.
That's nice, too, because I know that Markdown's great for basic, as you're mentioning earlier, it's great for basic things, but you start wrapping your head around bizarre issues because it's just, it's too simple, right? There's not enough support for kind of more complex elements. I know it doesn't have, for example, bookmarking features that I know of. And the first thing I did when I was playing around with this stuff, I went to the website and took a look at some sample documents. And it was extremely easy to make forward and reverse links to different areas, kind of like footnotes and such.
Correct.
And that's a fantastic feature that I was just dying for. That plus tables and other things that, you know, I'm really thinking of converting my content over. So why don't we just spend a little more time kind of nerding out on ASCII doc or ASCII doc format.
You're going to have no sniping on me.
Yes, exactly. No pressure. But in terms of the format, the features, you know, what are some of the other kind of highlights of what the document format can do? And that's putting you on the spot, but.
So when you compare ASCII doc versus Markdown, ASCII doc gives you more in the sense that you can write your document as if it were a book. You can target a book layout, in if I can say something like that. So that you can have chapters and parts and everything, whereas in Markdown, you need something additional to it, some additional project, some additional command line tool, which there are, of course, that will give you these kind of facilities, because Markdown is just one page document and that's it.
That's right.
But ASCII doc has this multiple page support from the get-go. So that's one thing. It helps you organize your code. I refer this to code because you will see in a moment why I think that documenting with ASCII doc is actually like just doing code.
Yeah.
So it has basic style sheets that you can apply. It has a table of contents automatically created based on the chapters that you define. There is no additional table of contents file that you need to do. It's just including your sections in order, and that will give you the right number. And you can change numbers. You can renumber everything. Inclusion of documents. You can include any ASCII document whenever you want to. But another great gain that you have with ASCII doc is that you can embed production code into your documentation. And what I mean by this is one of the things that I've been doing for the Griffon guide, and it's another stuff that the Groovy guys are doing it, embedding testable code that is available in their test sources. And once this thing is run, so we run the test cases first, and if the test cases are green, then we proceed building that documentation. And within the documentation sources, we make references, we include the test sources, because now we know those things are good. So the end benefit that you have with this is that every snippet of code that you see in your documentation has been tested, is real code, and is green code. So it's not something that just came out of thin air.
Do you do things in ASCII doc like you could say this file name from this line to this line? Or does it look at markup in the source code itself?
So ASCII doc has the include macro has an additional option that you can specify. The most basic one is say I want to include this file, whatever it is, and then you're done. But you can also rearrange the indentation.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's really nice. So you can go back and forth. You can also say something like I want to include from line 10 to line 20. And just happens. So I actually have that in the Griffon guide where I include some test sources that have a license header, but I don't want the license headers to appear in the documentation. So I know exactly from which line it should begin, and I say include from line 12, line 15, --1. This is like using a Ruby range. And that means from line 15 until the end of the document, whatever it is, because I may change it, just include everything. And then there's another thing that using a standard comments for whatever language you use. It doesn't have to be Java, it doesn't have to be JavaScript, it just has to be a code comment. You specify something called tags. And you give it a name, you give the name to the tag, where it begins and when it ends. And then on the include macro, you say, I want to include that particular tag. So that portion of code that has those tags around will be included and only that. And then there is another thing that I would like to talk about ASCII doc itself is that it's possible to create custom extensions. And one of the custom extensions that one of the contributors, Alex Soto, is working on is specifically targeting Java. Whereas in the include macro, you know you're including a Java file, but you say, I want to include the class file, only the class definition. Or I would just want to include this method name. So the extension will somehow parse your code, build the AST and say, oh, I know exactly which method you want to do, you want to include here, and I'll put it there. So now you can move around your method everywhere in your code, but now you are not tied to line numbers, or you are not tied to tags. And the third one that I would like to say about this, and you probably have seen books where there are some small circles or annotations pointing to a line, and after the code listing, there are some additional information on this. We call them callouts.
Yeah, right.
Well, you can do this in Java, or you can do it, again, with any language that supports comments, even XML. You just use a regular XML comment and give it just a small syntax where you define the number. This will be the callout number. So in the case of Java, say this is just a single line comment, so slash slash open, what will be, how do you call this, angle bracket?
Mm-hmm.
Give it a number, close angle bracket, and include that file. And if you follow this up, once you finish the listing in the ASCII document, how you define these callouts, when you render the file, you will see the snippet of code nicely highlighted with whatever highlighted you decide to use. And then those cubes or callouts inside the snippet referencing to the text or the captions for each one of them.
Yeah, so let's talk about the transformation for these tools. So, you know, the way that I've been doing with Markdown, I'll talk about kind of my workflow first, is, you know, I've been editing, you know, like a document, like a, let's say a lab manual or presentation slides, as you know, simple Markdown format. You know, for some of the slide-based tools, you know, I'm using Reveal.js. I don't know if you've ever used that before, but Reveal.js has Markdown support. And so for the slides, 2 pound signs is the header for a slide. You could use standard Markdown bullets and such and code samples. And 2 line feeds, the way I've set it up, is a new slide. 3 line feeds is a new section. And then what I do is I put it through, just set up basically this Reveal.js tool, point to the Markdown files, and I get a slide deck, which is really nice. So that's one way to do it, something like Reveal. And for the books, I've been using something called Pandoc, which is a utility that kind of is like a converting any one format to another, P-A-N-D-O-C. And I know it has support for ASCII doc. In fact, you can get, in fact, that's my plan when we get off this call, to play with this a little more, you know, is you could take it, you could say, you know, take my Markdown and turn it into ASCII doc.
Yes, you can do it. It's the only thing that I know about that. So I have tried Pandoc a couple of times already to convert a large Markdown documentation into ASCII doc. The only problem that I see there is that Pandoc still uses the old ASCII doc format. So it will add additional characters that may not be needed. For example, one thing, top level titles or top level section names. They start with an equal sign, and that will be number one. And if you use 2 equal signs, that will be number 2, and so forth and so forth. Also, ASCII doc also supports the Markdown syntax of putting the equal signs or dashes under the title. But in Markdown, you usually see the whole title followed by all the characters, exactly the same number of letters that you have in your title. This is true for the old ASCII doc syntax, but those are definitely much more characters that are needed. In the new ASCII doc format, it's only a matter of adding 4 characters for a title. You don't have to underline every single letter of your title.
Yeah, that's nice.
To make this happen. The same thing will happen with tables. It's only a matter of using 3 equal signs. There's no need to use the whole. So I think that the difference here in philosophy is that when ASCII doc was born, the idea is that what you see in the text is very close to what you're going to see rendered in the final format. So making sure that all the lines go all the way to the right and you see all the plus signs or whatever signs are used for that particular syntax, it will give you an idea where are the dimensions of the table or whatnot. But if you really want to be productive writing simple text files, it's just a matter to give you enough characters to the text processor so that it knows, oh, this is a table. I only need 4 characters. I don't need to type 80 of them.
Yeah, right.
And this knows that this is the title. This is the caption of the table. This is the first row. This is the first column. And that is just enough. So the idea that Dan has is to make you as productive as possible by enabling you to write as minimal as possible in case of syntax. And then let ASCII Doctor decide exactly what needs to happen.
And, you know, so I think the ASCII Doctor tool kind of works the same way that I've been using Pandoc. At least it seems like, as you mentioned, it kind of uses DocBook as a format internally, I suppose. You know, if you look at Pandoc using text as its intermediate format, and then it uses some transforms and style sheets, it could certainly export that then to PDF. And so that's what I've been using. And it does the same kind of things. It'll do table of contents and such. But because I'm using Markdown as a format, it's a lot more of a hinting type format than an actual, I don't want to call ASCII Doc what you see is what you get, but it's very close, right? And you know you're building a table, you know it's going to render roughly a certain way. With Pandoc, it's all these different formats could render a certain way. You have to play with it a little bit. And so, you know, talk to me about, like, you know, ASCII Doctor as a tool a little bit about, you know, how you would transform things to different formats.
So ASCII Doctor already contains this support for Diffilo backends. And so what you do, if you need to support an additional backend, you just plug it in. Now that you mentioned slides, I'm aware of at least 3 different options that support ASCII Doctor as the base format for each slide. One of them is DC Slides, which appears to be very popular with the ASCII Doctor contributors. The other two, which are also available as backends, they are DeckJS and Reveal.js.
Right, okay. Oh, so you can export to Reveal from ASCII Doctor.
Yes, exactly. And this is a very recent contribution. It's not more than 2 or 3 weeks old. So people are paying attention and migrating.
Well, that basically means to me I can get tables back again. In my presentations, I've been doing all sorts of really simple slide formats, and it'd be nice to have a little bit more you know, flexibility. Let's see here. So I think at this point we can kind of start talking about some of the tools we use, physical tools, and maybe you don't need as many of these in ASCII Doctor. You know, it sounds like ASCII Doctor is kind of your main tool there. But I want to mention, if you are doing a fair amount of Markdown, I've been using a very cheap tool on the Mac App Store called Markdown Pro. And there are a bunch of these. There's tons of different Markdown editors out there. I mean, GitHub is, you know, a web-based Markdown editor, for example. But
yes.
You know what I mean? So, you know, for example, for the podcast, we do a dev news podcast every week or every couple weeks. And we've been throwing things in Markdown format for the links. And then I'll throw those all into a quick Markdown document, and in Markdown Pro, I'll just right-click and say, give me the raw HTML, and I paste it in WordPress. So, you know, kind of a nice little Swiss Army knife tool that I like. I don't know, what are your favorite editors? You mentioned Vim, basically. So Vim has a ASCII Doctor plugin, I guess, or ASCII Doc, I should say, syntax highlighting plugin and checker?
It's very likely that there is one, though I don't use it. I don't know if I'm really hardcore or I just don't know how to install Vim plugins, but I rarely use any kind of Vim plugins. I just do stuff directly. Yeah, who has time to install Vim plugins anyway? the other editor that I use is TextMate, just because it's also very simple.
Yes.
And if I happen to be editing a guide for any of the projects that I'm working on, well, I will use the IDE just directly, even if there is not a IDE plugin for it. It's just a regular text file, so I use it. One thing that I use in the case of Markdown, this is a tool that I found out when Guillaume Laforge, the Groovy project lead, was looking for options for changing and updating the new Groovy documentation, which just happens to be in ASCII Doctor. He posted, he actually tweeted a message on a tool called Mou, M-O-U, for OS X. So it has syntax highlighting, it has some nice features, but the thing that really drives the point home with this particular tool is synchronized scrolling. So on the left side, you see your source, your markdown source, and on the right side, you see a WebKit with rendering the your document. So if you scroll on the left, it will automatically scroll on the right, so you know exactly where you're at.
Yeah, that's very handy. If you're stuck on DocBook, and I shouldn't say stuck on because probably everyone who likes DocBook will start yelling at me, but I know that I was stuck on DocBook. there's a GUI tool that actually makes it more palatable to work with. You know, I really need to see visually at least something that approximates what I'm going to see when I actually publish the item. And so, you know, Markdown makes it easier because I can visualize what that is, and ASCII-Doc same way. But I found a tool, and it is a paid tool, called Oxygen. Oxygen, I think, is essential for DocBook, for example. So anyone in the sound of my voice is working with DocBook, look at Oxygen. It is expensive, but it's really, really worth it if you're going to be wrestling that format to the ground. Basically, turns it into a word processor, and you can click, you know, like a kind of a split screen tab, or you can click on a, you know, text only XML tab, or a pure what you see is what you get tab, and you can edit right in the what you see is what you get section. So it's a really handy tool for that.
Right.
I like TextMate. I also like Sublime Text, and the reason I like it is it actually runs on all three platforms. And I know they've got a number of different plugins for things like Markdown and probably ASCII-Doc as well. And you mentioned, I mentioned Pandoc, and you mentioned ASCII-Doctor. Anything else you want to bring up in terms of tools?
For editing, not really, but there are a few other tools that that you can find around Markdown and ASCII-Doctor itself or ASCII-Doc format in order to create blog posts or static websites or something else. The first one that I would like to bring in is related to Markdown specifically. It's called Gaiden or Gaiden. It's actually a Japanese word, Gaiden. You probably have heard, somebody have heard about it because Ninja Gaiden.
Right, yes, exactly.
The video game. Anyway, so Gaiden is a tool that makes it easy to create documentation with Markdown. And it's a tool, it's a very basic command line tool written in Groovy. It's a set of Groovy libraries. And you can install with another project called GVM. GVM stands for the Groovy Environment Manager. So Ruby, you know it because there is a Ruby Environment Manager, but there is a Groovy one that allows you to install Gaiden and a few other nice things. So what you gain with Gaiden is a project structure where you can you define a table of contents, and you have pages and chapters, and boom, you pretty much have now the possibility to very simply to create a multi-page Markdown-based documentation.
So basically it gives you a project structure for doing this kind of stuff. That's fantastic. Have you seen embedding ASCII-Doc in like JavaDoc format? Because I know, for example, you know, there's some tools that will do that.
There is one thing called ASCII-Doclet. So you know that JavaDoc supports Doclets. Somebody decided to create a Doclet that supported ASCII-Doc. And it's really cool. And here is one endorsement that I can actually say because it's a public tweet. Tim Fox, the leader of the Vertex project, found out about ASCII-Doc and said he's thinking about using it for documenting the next big release of Vertex.
Oh.
So at least he's thinking about it. There is another command line based tool based on Groovy called Grain, GRAIN.
Mm-hmm.
This one supports Markdown and ASCII-Doc. And it's also used to create a static website out of any of these formats, and it comes with a command line tool. And the third one is called JBake. The website is jbake.org. This is, Dan Allen, the author of ASCII, pretty much said that JBake is the Jekyll for the JVM. So you guys know what Jekyll is for Markdown. Well, this is pretty much the other guy I put for ASCII. It supports ASCII Markdown, and of course, HTML. It's highly configurable, and we're hoping that eventually we'll get JBake also installable via JVM.
Anything else you want to mention?
Yeah, sure. So I said that there are lots of projects related to ASCII-Doctor, and one of the projects that you will find is, there are actually two projects that are interesting, the Maven plugin and the Gradle plugin. So you can have your ASCII-Doc sources in a standard Maven project or a standard Gradle project, and transform those sources into whatever format you want based on all the options that are available to you, just using Maven ASCII-Doc or Maven ASCII-Doc, which is a Gradle ASCII-Doc, which is the name of task. Very, very simple. This is actually what we use on both the Groovy and Grails projects. No, not Grails, not yet. Groovy and Griffon. And the Groovy FX and GParts projects have also very recently switched to ASCII. The guys are not fully migrated, but the work has started. So that's another great thing. And speaking of Gradle, I could also plug in the Markdown Gradle plugin, which allows you to transform Markdown into HTML and back using Peckdown. It uses two well-known libraries. One of them is Peckdown, and the other is called Remark. And, well, so yeah, it's easy. You just plug in the Markdown setup in your Gradle build file, and now you are able to transform documentation back and forth within those two formats. One of the reasons I took so long for writing my own book, more than 3 years, is because I had to wrestle down with Word. And I simply couldn't get myself up to the point where I say, now I know exactly why I want to write, but I can't because I don't like to work with this tool. It's too cumbersome for what I need to do. But now, given the choice of using a simple text format like ASCII Doctor, I will definitely jump into it. And it will be much, much faster finishing the next book.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that low friction. Because when you're in a creative mode, I don't know about you, but when you're writing a book, after a certain point in time, it becomes, you have this inertia you have to get over. I got to get back to the book. I got to rest. And you know, most of the inertia is around wrestling the format or wrestling the tool.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and I know I did the same thing. I did a lot of my own private training and custom training for Chariot for our company. And used to do, you know, PowerPoint. And then after PowerPoint, I went to whatever the tool is for the Mac. And after a while, it was just, you know, it was pain of like, oh, I got to get another GUI tool and sit there and wrestle a bullet to the right, you know. And even with the work, with the book, I was wrestling DocBook. And that's also pain because you change one bracket and the whole thing breaks, you know. But with Markdown, I was able to fly, you know, and I think ASCII Doc probably even faster and even more out of your way. Plus, just having nice formats to work with, you know, you can do tables, you know, you can do these references.
Much more well integrated features all around without having to use additional or extended tools, like in the case of Markdown. Now, there is one final remark that I'd like to say about ASCII Doctor itself. And you may remember at the beginning of the show, I said something that writing ASCII Doc documentation is kind of like writing code.
Yeah.
The thing that is really unique and is really kind of like the deal breaker is that ASCII Doctor creates an AST of your documentation.
Oh, okay.
So let that sink in for a moment. What does it mean to have an AST of your document? That means that if you have the capability to create your own extensions, which ASCII Doctor allows you to do with any JVM language, it could be anything, even if it's written in Ruby, then you can manipulate your document as you see fit.
Oh, wow.
You can do pretty much anything because you have the context of where exactly the tag is in the rest of your document. You can create additional information on the document. You can replace whole sections. So a particular extension that I would like to see would be, say that you include a snippet of a test case, and it's just not the test case that you want to see. You also want to see the output. It's just one simple extension, say, run this test case and capture the actual output somehow, or take a screenshot, and then inject back in whatever came out of that test case.
Oh, yeah, especially for like an end-to-end test. Oh, that'd be fantastic.
And this is one of the things that you can do with the next version of ASCII Doctor, which is version 1.5.0. It should come out... I don't know, within the next 3 months, we should have one final release. There are some previews already, the 7 previews of 1.5.0 coming out, mm-hmm. But the final should be soon, no later than the end of the year for sure.
Oh, that's definitely good to look at. All right, you're convincing me. That's great, yeah. It's fun when you find these new tools that kind of change the way you do your work. And it's so funny, we're getting these, you know, super fast machines that can... You know, they could do 3D ray trace rendering in seconds, and we're going back to a text format to edit with. And I just think that's great. You know, why waste your CPU cycles on Word?
We'll come back again to writing huge application servers. So I don't know. So the only way to predict the future is to create the future. So we keep creating these simple text formats and simple editors and simple tools. Well, we'll end up, and hopefully we'll end up with something that is simpler and better to use. Well, we'll see.
I would agree. And one more thing while I have you on the phone. So you're working on Gradle. On Griffin, I should say. You're working on Griffin. What are the other projects you're working on? And I know your main project is Griffin. Where is that project today? What's going on with that one? Because we originally had you on a couple of years back for Griffin.
I'm really happy that you asked this particular question, because we're about to release the next big one, which is 2.0, sometime within the next 2 months. And this is almost like a full rewrite of the runtime. And the big ticket item in this regard with this release is that the legacy build tool that we inherited from Grails is gone. Application will be a standard Gradle project. So what does this mean? Well, the dependency resolution problems that we have with the prior system are gone, because Gradle is much better at having resolving dependencies. And if they come up with something that is much better than we have now, then we get it for free, because it's the Gradle guys that did it, not us. We don't have to wait that. Another thing is that, well, Gradle is well supported with IDEs, so we don't have to write a custom Griffin plugin for all the IDEs that are out there. Most of our users have told us that they have been experiencing troubles running Griffin projects in IntelliJ IDEA, and that there is no plugin for Eclipse, and the NetBeans plugin is always broken because they keep updating versions. So these plugins are completely gone, because now, as long as Gradle is well supported in the tool that you're using, then we're also good to go.
That's excellent. And that's coming out soon. Was it 1.0? What version is it again?
2.0. So there have been two betas already out. Mm-hmm. The last one came out last Friday. So that's Friday, what was it, the 20th?
Yeah, it sounds right. Yes, that was June. The 20th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're just getting ready to releasing the final one. And what is keeping us from releasing it happens to be the Griffin guide written in ASCII.doc, because we still have to write documentation.
So if people want to look at your formats, for example, they could just go on GitHub and take a look at your documentation in ASCII.doc and get a feel for what it looks like, right?
Yes, exactly. I tend to use a lot of things in a lot of interesting tricks in the Griffin guide including the snippets. One thing that ASCII.doc allows you to do is define attributes. In terms of documentation, well, I don't know what attributes are, but in terms of as a programmer, as a developer, I see attributes as variables.
Mm-hmm.
So you can define variables in your documentation and point it anywhere you want to. And I use these variables to calculate what is the path of the file that I need to include, so that when I see my documentation, I'll see this variable resolves to a huge path, but in the name of the variable tells me, oh, this is the path to that particular subproject, but I have the samples that are related to JavaFX and the Java language. So it's much easier for me to read what's going on.
Okay, Anders, I really appreciate you taking the time with us this morning.
Thank you very much again, Ken. I really appreciate it. And I hope that the listeners get interested in having a look at all these different text formats, get away a bit from those huge word processors tools, and see that it's easy to create. It's good to create documents and really nice looking documents using text formats. And one of those text formats happens to be ASCII.doc.
Yeah, exactly. All right, thanks again.
Thanks to Andres for talking to me a few weeks ago about ASCII.doc, and Markdown. If you've enjoyed this podcast, head over to our show notes page at chariotsolutions.com/techcast. There you can browse the more than 80 podcasts in the series, including interviews with Rod Johnson, founder of Spring, and a host of others. You can also browse in our blogs, podcast, and screencast menu, and watch dozens of video screencasts from our Emerging Technology of the Enterprise Conference. Read blogs from our developers on a wide range of topics, including AngularJS, Scala, Akka, Ruby, Spring, continuous integration, mobile applications, and a lot more. We also have a few other podcast streams, such as the Chariot Developer News and a Business of Technology podcast. All are available free without charge. Chariot's consultants are passionate about technology, and we hope it shows in our content. That's all for the show. Our podcast is syndicated on Libsyn, available on iTunes, and uses free theme number 3 from podcastthemes.com. We plan on more sessions in the fall, so stay tuned. For the TechCast, I'm Ken Rimple.